We ask, dear Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes to see deep things in your word, that you will give us understanding, and there will be clarity as your word is released to us today. We ask, Spirit of God, that you will not just teach us, but you will take your permanent place in us, you will rest in us, and you will bless us the more. Thank you, loving Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank God for today, the last Sunday of the month of February. And since this month began, the Lord has been blessing us, the Lord has been teaching us, the Lord has been showing us wonderful things in His Word. And you know that since this month began, the Lord has been challenging us on that theme, living in favor. And I believe that there is no better way to illustrate it than the picture that we have at the back of the life link for this month. A tiger embracing and hugging a man. That in itself is a picture of divine favor, or how to live in favor. In the course of the month, the Lord has illustrated it several ways to us. We have looked at the life of Esther. We have looked at the life of Daniel. We have looked at the life of Joseph. And we have also looked at the life of Samuel. Today, by the grace of God, I trust the Lord as we conclude this series, that the Lord will yet talk to our hearts and He will minister to us. As I minister on the theme, Keys to Divine Favor. Keys to Divine Favor. Please let us open our Bibles together to the book of Psalms. And we're going to read Psalm 1. And we're going to read all that chapter. It has only 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Please turn with me again to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. An average unbeliever is always anxious and ready to fight, ready to cheat, ready to bribe, and ready to manipulate to get anything or to get anywhere. He is forceful, aggressive, and pushy to achieve his goals. To maintain his position also, he must continue all his wicked schemes throughout life. But it must not be so with us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. If we will not follow the ways of ungodly people around us, then we must learn how to enjoy God's favor as His children. The following, therefore, are major keys that I have discovered in the scriptures about how to enjoy God's favor. Number one, develop a personal relationship with God. Please, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1 all through to verse 16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And again, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are looking at keys to enjoy divine favor with God. Keys to divine favor. And I said the first one is that you develop a personal relationship with God. I think with the signs of the times that we see all around us, we should no longer take it for granted that the fact that a brother comes to church and has been with us for some time, that it means that that brother has a personal relationship with God. We should no longer take it for granted that the fact that a sister comes to church and has been with us for some time, that means that that sister has a personal relationship with God. Some of the times, after a great while, people behave in certain ways that you cannot but question, is it that this person never knew God and has been pretending all these years, all this while? Or is it that this person actually knew the Lord, gave his or her life to Christ, and somewhere, somehow, along the line, slipped off back into sin and couldn't find his or her way back to God? I must say that sincerely, as a believer and as a pastor for some time now, I have met with disappointment severally, that now it is getting more and more difficult to know who to trust and who you can vouch for as being a true Christian or a true child of God. But let me advise you this morning, you cannot pretend forever. You can only pretend for a while. And the maximum time you can pretend and deceive yourself for is your lifetime. But if death catches you in pretense, then you will blame yourself forever. But if you must live in divine favor, if you must enjoy favor with God, then every one of us must develop a personal relationship with God. While I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and I started to see a major distinction between some of us when we gave our lives to Christ and several people now who claim to give their lives to Christ. First of all, I asked myself, when I gave my life to Christ, why did I give my life to Christ? Believe me, honestly, there was no incentive of any kind for me to give my life to Christ other than to know God, to serve Him, and to rest with Him eternally when my lifetime on earth is over. Today I hear all kinds of strange things everywhere. Today I hear pastors using all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of tricks to lure people to church. Anybody can lure you to church, but nobody can lure you into a relationship with God. That is why Jesus Christ said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Take note of what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3. He said, "Whatever is born of the flesh is of the flesh." You can come to church, you can live in church, you can serve in church, you can die in church, and yet without having a personal relationship with God. And that person will pass through the church and will still go to hell. In fact, many pastors themselves will go to hell, and Jesus Christ confirmed this. Because he said when he returns, he will say to many, "Get out from me, I know you not, you worker of iniquity." Because those who will claim, "In your name we have preached the gospel, in your name we have healed the sick, in your name we have performed miracles." And yet he will say to them, he didn't know them. So please, don't just come to church. Make sure that you know God, and make sure that God equally knows you. Because a topic like this, living in favor, is very attractive in our generation. And a lot of people may want to come to church, especially when they hear a theme or a topic like this, living in favor. Ah, I want to live in favor. I want to enjoy favor. No, that was not the essence of a series like this. The starting point of having favor with God is for you to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. As the Spirit of God was helping me along, I could see a major difference, let me say, between myself and between our son. When I gave my life to Christ, my parents were not believers. They were not born again. So nobody even encouraged me to go to church. And let me challenge those of you who are parents and you have your children in church. That's one area that if we are not careful, we could make a big mistake. Don't force your children to church. Because I looked at myself. I was running after God. I was pursuing God. I came from a fetish background. My father didn't know God. My mother didn't know God. Nobody encouraged me to go to church. In fact, I remember when I was growing up, the only time that I remember that my father would ever go to church would be at Christmas or New Year time. And come to think of it, when I gave my life to Christ, in fact, I was persecuted. I would be beaten, I would be flogged if I ever went to church. So those who followed me up, those who helped me to establish my feet in the Lord, did not emphasize coming to church. Rather, they emphasized developing relationship with God. They would visit me. They would encourage me. When I would complain to them, "Daddy didn't allow me to come to church. Mommy didn't allow me to come to church." They will pray with me. Sometimes they will go to appeal to my parents. "Please release this boy so he could come to church." But despite that, a lot of the time they will refuse me to go to church. But although I wasn't regular in church, I was privately developing a relationship with God. I was taught how to pray. I was taught how to study and meditate on the Word of God. I was taught how to discern the presence of God in His Word and then in prayer. Today we have turned too many things upside down. A lot of people come to church and yet they don't know God. A lot of people come to church and yet they lack personal relationship with God. That is why Jesus Christ said, what is born of the flesh is flesh. You cannot change a person by any human means or device. But if I compare myself as I grew up and I gave my life to Christ with our son, who happens to be a pastor's son. You know, he grew up meeting all those things on ground. It's like it was automatic for the family to pray, for the family to read the Bible, for the family to fast, for the family to go to church. And for such people, if care is not taken, they will get themselves busy with all those activities because their parents automatically introduced them to it without discovering the life that is in it. For me, it is quite clear because what my parents didn't know is what God taught me. What my parents couldn't enter into is what God brought me into. So it was God Himself who did it. Not my father, not my mother, not my brothers, not my sisters, not anybody, but God. That is what it means to have a personal relationship with God. Let me ask you this morning, please don't take this for granted. How did you come to know Jesus? When did you come to know Jesus? Where did you actually meet Jesus? I think this generation of Christians needs to answer those questions. So that you don't just come into the church, mix with the crowd, and then you are busy every day, involved in activities, without actually having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not surprised. And I know that my parents were not surprised. And I know that many who knew me when I was growing up will not be surprised that I am a pastor today. Because from childhood, the moment I discovered God, I was ready to give up anything and everything to follow this God and to serve Him to the end. But today, I see a lot of people around. It is like you are being forced to serve God. It's like you are being dragged along. This thing is not coming from within. There is a fault somewhere. There is an error somewhere. There is a mistake somewhere. Something is fundamentally wrong. Check yourself. If you are in the faith, I have illustrated with the story of myself and our son and Christian parents and their children so that you can understand some of these things. For me, I had every disincentive not to follow Christ. My parents did everything they knew how to stop me from following Christ. But once I met with Christ, nobody could stop me from following Him. I was ready to suffer anything simply for following Christ. I was ready to give up everything but to follow Christ. But today, I see the reverse in most people. Perhaps a lot of people today who call themselves Christians have not really encountered Jesus. That is why John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You know, that place says He gives power. Power. You need power to be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the power of God. And the way the modern Christian is living shows that a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they lack that power. Eventually, that is why some people will fall by the wayside. Eventually, that is why many of such people will not make it to heaven. Because, you know, they say, when jumbo mature, who know, who know. Everybody can start a race. But it is not everybody who starts a race that finishes it. So God is not impressed that you are in church this morning. God will only be impressed eventually if you make it through to heaven. Are you listening to me this morning? God is not impressed that you have started by coming to church. And maybe you are still in church, but I hope you know that the church is not this building that we are in. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The whole world is waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the rapture. Despite the several warnings in scripture that He may come anytime, whether in the morning, afternoon, evening, or night, a lot of you are still living your life as if God is not talking to you. So, when we talk about the church, we will congratulate you on that glorious day in heaven when Jesus Christ comes for the church to take the church home, if you are there. But don't congratulate yourself that you are here this morning. So, but before that day comes, before that eventual reckoning of the saints arrive, please, I challenge you this morning, check yourself. Have you entered into a definite relationship, personal relationship with Christ? The father cannot help his son to develop a personal relationship with God. The mother cannot help her daughter. Children also cannot help their parents. Husband cannot help the wife. Wife cannot help her husband. That is why Jesus Christ said when he returns, two people will be sleeping on the same bed. Husband and wife will be sleeping on the same bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two people will be walking on the way. Two people will be grinding at the mill. Maybe sisters, maybe brothers, maybe friends. One will be taken, the other will be left. When Jesus Christ comes, there will be a division. The true children of God will be taken home to heaven. And all the pretenders in church and the unbelievers around, they will be left behind. But before that day comes, I warn you again this morning, check yourself. Do you actually have a personal relationship with God? Because as a pastor, my duty is not to be feeding dead babies or to be pampering dead babies. If you are dead, you are dead. If you don't have life, you don't have life. There is nothing anybody can do to you. Pastors can only succeed in bringing you to church to help to increase the number, to help to populate the church, so that the finances of the church can increase, so that pastors can be richer. But that will not take you to heaven. And that will never register your name in the book of life. So I warn you again, check yourself. Are you sure that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you met him? There is nobody who meets Christ and his life does not change. So that is the starting point. Develop a personal relationship with God. Number two, seek him early. Seek God early. Psalm 63, verse 1. David said there, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Early will I seek thee. Early. If you want to enter into favor with God, then seek him early. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 2 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I look at churches all over the place. The motivation, the incentive that drives people to church these days is no longer good. A lot of us are running to God because the evil days have arrived. Because we are now desperately in need. You want to go to school. You want to pass exams. You want a job desperately. So you need somebody to pray for you in order to get a job. You want to marry. And at any rate, because you don't want to marry an ungodly person, so you come to church so that that will increase your chances of marrying a good man or a good woman. Those are not the reasons why we seek God. I ask myself time and time over again, when I gave my life to Christ, none of these things was part of the reasons. None of them. I didn't give my life to Christ because I was looking for money, or because I was looking for a job, or because I was looking for a partner, or because I even wanted to pass an exam, although I knew that God could help me to do those things. But those were not the reasons. Seek God early in your life. Seek God early. Don't seek God because you are in need. Don't seek God because you have a problem that you want God to solve for you. Even if God solves that problem, if God meets that need, that doesn't make you one of his children. After all, The Bible says to us that God makes his sun to shine upon the good and the bad. God makes his rain to fall on the good and the bad. The fact that God gives you anything you are seeking for is not a proof that you belong to him. And that is why I have taught it before and I will continue to teach it. Prosperity messages, prosperity preachers are liars. And they are not teaching the correct word of God. The fact that you pray for something, you are in problem, and God helps you to solve that problem, does not mean you belong to him. So many people were healed in the Bible. A lot of them never knew God. Naaman was a Syrian. He was not even a Jew. And he still went back to serve his idols. And yet God healed him. Healing is no proof that you are a child of God. Miracles is no proof that you are a child of God. Judas saw miracles. Judas performed miracles himself. And yet Judas went to hell. If you seek for all these earthly gains, and yet you still end up in hell, it would have been better for you never to have been born and never to have ever lived or passed through this world. Today we are seeking God for wrong reasons. We are seeking God not because we are interested in God, but simply because we want to use God to meet our needs and to solve our problems. It is a selfish and a wicked and ungodly way to use God. No wonder a lot of us are not stable. No wonder a lot of us are not godly. No wonder a lot of us are not dependable. Because you can use God to meet your needs. You only want to use God to solve your problems. You are not interested in seeking after God himself. You don't want to be his friend. But I tell you this morning, God is looking for friends. Not friends who want to use him and dump him. So selfish and self-centered life. You just want to use God. You just want to come to church and tell the pastor to pray for you so that certain needs in your life can be met. Certain problems in your life can be solved. And you think that is what God exists for. It's a wrong reason to seek for God. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. The Bible testifies concerning Jesus. There, the Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Early in the morning, first thing in the morning, Jesus Christ withdrew from the crowd. Jesus Christ looked for a solitary and silent place. And then he went to pray. What was he praying for? Was he praying for healing? Was he praying so that God could help him to meet a need or to solve a problem? Was Jesus Christ looking for a job or he wanted to pass an exam? Was Jesus Christ looking for a wife? He went into a solitary place to cultivate a relationship, to develop a friendship, to deepen his rapport with his heavenly Father. Is that the way you live your Christian life? Or every day you are so conscious and so anxious about your needs, and those are the things you keep bringing to God when you say you are praying? Friends, let us seek God early. That is the lesson of quiet time. When you wake up in the morning, before you face the hustle and bustle of the day, you wake up a great while before dawn. Before you meet with any man, you meet with God. There's an old song that we used to sing, "Dwelling Together." How happy we shall be through all eternity, for we shall dwell together, my God and I. Thank God I was taught early in life, when I gave my life to Christ, the value and importance of quiet time. Before my parents would wake up, and they begin to shout my name. And you know, as a child, you don't have control over your own time. A lot of you, it is showing in your life that you didn't meet Christ early enough. Now a lot of you are mature men and women. You have control over your own life, and yet your spiritual life and relationship with God is haphazard. As a child, because I knew that I never had control over my time, My parents will wake up anytime, and then the first thing will be to shout my name. I learned the discipline of waking up earlier than they will wake up, and to make sure that I develop my relationship with my father. I will have settled a lot of things with my heavenly father before my earthly father wakes up and starts to disturb my day. But today is a pity. Many of you gave your life to Christ as adults, and because you are not properly followed up, now you are just stumbling along. Your spiritual life is zigzag, up and down. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down. Never stable or consistent. But please, let us learn how to seek God early. And that is why a mature Christian doesn't wait until trouble comes before you begin to fast and pray. You live a life of consistent prayer life. Consistent fasting life. Whether there is problem or there is no problem, you pray. Whether there is problem or there is no problem, you fast. Whether there is problem or there is no problem, you study the Bible. That is the normal Christian life. But some of you, it is when there is problem, that's when you now want to run all over the place. It's like a person that has not eaten for days, and now you want to eat. Can you eat all the food that you have not eaten in 1 week, in 1 day? It's not possible. If you have taken your relationship with God for granted all this while, and now you now run into trouble, and you now want to do kirakita, what kirakita are you going to do? God who created life, created order, says so long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, heat and cold will never cease. There is an order, and there are seasons in life. Please learn to seek God early. That's usually, you must have noticed, every year when the year is starting, we devote the first few days of the year to seeking the face of God. Because you don't know what the year has in store. And for children of God who genuinely and sincerely do this and commit their year into the hands of God, you can be sure it doesn't matter whatever that year may bring, God will be there for them. But for those of you who want to use God, you will discover that before all your great-great-grandparents, before they were ever born, God has always been. You will always meet God ahead. So please, seek Him early. Don't take God for granted. When life is good for you, and when problems come, that's when you suddenly now become spiritual. That's when you now want to pray. That's when you now want to fast. Emergency. God doesn't respond to such things. God likes people who cultivate relationship with Him, who seek Him well ahead of time. Number three, put God first in everything. Don't just seek Him early, put Him first. Let Him be number one. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Everybody please say with me, in all thy ways. Let's use modern English. Say, in all your ways, acknowledge God. Please point to your neighbor and say, in all your ways, acknowledge God. Which means there is no area of your life that you should not acknowledge God. Acknowledge God in all your ways. And it is only as you do that, that He will direct your path. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. There Jesus Christ said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes I wonder why human beings can be so stubborn. Some of you have put your families first. Your lifestyle shows it. The way you live, everybody can see that God is not first in your life. Some of you, you have put your parents first. Your lifestyle betrays it, that your parents, they are the first people to be considered in your life. Some of you have put your spouses first. Some of you, you have put your children first. Some of you, you have put your jobs first, negotiations especially. The only change that can be is for you to change to be like me. I will never change to be like those of you who are unserious with your relationship with God. Job. Some of you talk as if you were born with those jobs.
And these are the things that condemn you. Some of you, it is only and until you run into trouble. And many times, I'm even short of words. I don't know what more or what else to say. Because some of it is still this same me who has been warning you, shouting and screaming, and you refuse to listen because of job. When those jobs are off, you see, come back crying and weeping. Hey, pastor, please pray with me. Hey, pastor, please pray for me. Is there any God the pastor will pray to other than Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty? Some of you are still living your reckless life as you are looking at me as at this morning. Your job. How much is the salary at the end of the day? That is a lesson I had learned many years ago. What is job compared with God? Abba, why don't we learn how to honor God? Job. That is why churches in Lagos, go and look at most churches in Lagos. Over 60% or more than 70% of churches in Lagos only meet twice in a week. And it's because of all these workers in Lagos who are destroying those churches. Again, go and look at most churches. What is the length of time? What is the duration of time that we spend together in church? And most of you would rather go and spend hours watching the telly, browsing internet, reading newspapers, doing all kinds of ungodly things. But once it comes to dwelling with God's people together, sharing fellowship with God and his people, you begin to complain. As if somebody is punishing you. Some people are spiritually sick. You want to live in divine favor? Jesus Christ said, put first God and his kingdom. Very simple. But Satan and the flesh will never allow us to obey it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing, it is God who adds. The Yorubas will say it is only what a bird eats that will fly with. If today, after service, armed robbers kill you, the only thing that will go with you as they are taking away your soul is your relationship with God and whatever you have ever done in your lifetime. That is why I will always say to you, I'm not begging you to serve God. I'm only advising you. But please know, one of these days your life will come to an end. But before it comes to an end, learn some wisdom and try to put God first. Not your father, not your mother, not your children, not your husband, not your wife. Because at the point of death, none of those people can help you. Only your relationship with God and whatever you have done for God will count at that moment. Every time I hear about people dying, I always picture their last moment. These are the things we need to come to church to tell ourselves. Unfortunately, many of our preachers themselves are agents of money. They think the work of God is just to make money and for them to live a flamboyant life. And souls keep perishing every day. People keep passing through the church and going to hell. Please, seek first the kingdom of God. Because it is the kingdom of God that really matters. The kingdom of man is a temporary kingdom. So please, let's gain wisdom. If you want to enjoy favor with God, then please, make sure you seek him first and his kingdom. We've talked about Esther, we've talked about Daniel, we've talked about Joseph, we've talked about Samuel. Go and look at all those people. They didn't follow God because of what they wanted to gain from God. They didn't follow God because of money or material blessing. That was why, at a time of need, Esther could say, if I perish, I perish. She forgot about the fact that she was a queen, queen or no queen, palace or no palace. That is nothing. But I must stand for my God, even if it means dying in the course of doing that. How many of us, modern Christians, love God that much? A lot of us would rather sleep at home and be watching the telly. If rain falls, we will stay back at home. What type of generation is this one? We are so ungodly. The only thing we run after is gain. Number four, be pure and sincere in your heart. And listen to this. God's focus and emphasis is ever on the heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth,
to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Is your heart perfect towards God? Forget about all these things that we do in church to impress people. You are wasting your time if you are being impressive. The day you learn never to impress anybody, then that day you have just started your journey with Christ. Because God is never impressed by outward shows. God looks directly into your heart. He sees your motives. He sees your intentions. And the only thing that can bring you into favor, look at it. The Bible says that God himself, his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he wants to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts is perfect towards him. They don't need to shout in prayer. They don't need anointing oil. They don't need handkerchief. They don't need 21 hallelujahs or 1,000 hallelujahs, all these formulas that our preachers keep deceiving us and giving us without helping us to cultivate relationship with God. People whose hearts are upright before God, they don't need any of those things. It is because a lot of you are failing in developing relationship with God. That's why you are looking for fake men of God that will do those things to you, and they promise you all kinds of things that cannot be done. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. He says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. With all your heart. Brethren, let us seek for God with all our heart. If you seek for God with all your heart, you will enjoy divine favor. The Lord will favor you. Listen, the Lord sees your heart. He sees my heart. You can't deceive him. You can deceive the pastor. You can deceive your team leader. You can deceive your hands-on-worship leader. But you can never deceive God. He sees your heart. He says, "You will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart." And Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart. The pure in heart. Is your heart pure? Is your heart pure? These are the crucial issues that we must face in the church. Is your heart pure? And Matthew chapter 15 verses 10 and 11. Jesus Christ said unto the multitude there, verse 11 in particular, he said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." What is going on in your heart? We think a lot. And the moment God sees the thoughts of a man, that those thoughts are ungodly, then that man is ungodly. That man may be singing, that man may be clapping, that man may be looking outwardly sanctimonious, but as far as the Lord has sees his heart, he's an evil man. Are you an evil person? Or you are a godly person? It is not what you do outwardly that will define you as good or bad. It is what is going on inside of you. And again, let's look at Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 43 to verse 45. It says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." I hope you know that this is the passage, those who teach positive confession, this is one of the places they speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that what this place is talking about? Does this passage have anything to do with positive confession? You can confess anything with your mouth. But what God is saying is, he looks at what is going on in your heart. Although, sometimes, the mouth betrays what is going on in the heart. And that's why that place is, out of the abundance of what is going on in the heart of a man, his mouth speaks. And that's why, listen to this. One of the best ways to reach Christians is to ask that person to pray. Ask a person to pray and listen to his prayer. Although, not everybody can do it, But at least I can. If I ask you to pray and then you pray, your prayer is a pointer to a lot of things. If I listen to your prayer, I know the way you are thinking. I know what's going on in your mind. Out of the abundance of the heart, every man speaks. I know where your interests lie. I know what your priorities are. Because a lot of the times when we pray, a lot of us don't even think. We pray based on what we feel. So a lot of the times, prayer is a reflection of the condition and the state of the heart. Step number 5, be committed to the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That place is not talking about going to look at the Bible and then you go and extract all the juicy promises in the Bible. And those are the things you are confessing every day, every morning. What about Leviticus? What about Numbers? What about Revelation? What about Habakkuk? What about Zephaniah? Those are books some Christians have never ever studied before. Because all we think we do with the Word of God is to look for the juicy promises in there, and we are feeding greedily on them. That will not bring you into divine favor. But if you love the laws of God, if you love the Word of God generally, you remember how we started from Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but meditates in the laws of God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In verse 105 it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, there Jesus Christ answered the devil when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Do you love the word of God? Are you committed to meditating upon the word of God? I love the word of God. I love the word of God. As I listen to news, as I watch end time prophecies being fulfilled, for me as a student of the Bible, it is amazing how end time prophecies are being fulfilled right to our faces. And that is why I want to study it the more. Because you cannot understand life in itself without a sound knowledge of the Word of God. That's why for years now I have made it a point of duty every year to read my Bible through. At least 2 times. I read books a lot. Our house is full of books. I browse online. I read online a lot. But no book on earth will take the place of Bible in my life. If you love the Word of God, it will usher you into divine favor. You will not need to be struggling. You will not need to be running kirakita to get things done in life. Because the almighty hands of God will work on your behalf. But those of you who neglect the Word of God, and the time you ought to spend in meditating in the Word of God, those are the times you are spending pursuing all kinds of things everywhere. It's a wrong way to live. Number 6, don't just study the Word of God, obey God and walk in His Word. Obey whatever God says to you in His Word. Walk in His Word. Luke chapter 6, from verse 47 to verse 49. Jesus said here, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. An unbeliever that does not come to church and listen to sound messages like this
is better than a Christian who comes to church, listens to the word of God, and is living in disobedience to that word. Because the judgment of the Christian will be more. Because God has given you his word. You cannot claim ignorance. You know the truth, but you have refused to practice the truth. And that is the condemnation. So Jesus said, if you keep hearing his word and you don't do it, then you are a foolish man. And you are building your house on the sand. One day rain will fall. You cannot stop rain from falling. And when rain falls, flood will gather. But the Bible says your house will stand if it is on the rock. But if you are just deceiving yourself and you are singing and standing on the rock that never fails, when you are a disobedient child of God, when rain comes and flood gather, whatever you have built, everything will collapse. That is the word of God. The only way to build on the rock is to be obedient to the things God is saying to you. James chapter 1 from verse 22. Again here, brother James says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Without anointing oil, he shall be blessed. Without the mantle, he shall be blessed. Without the laying on of hands of men of God, he shall be blessed. And what is opening the door of blessing to this man? He is not just a hearer. He is not just a preacher. He is a doer of the word of God. But this generation, we don't want to do the word of God. And that is why we are running from pillar to post. That is why we prefer to run from minister to minister. God said to Saul, through Samuel, he said to obey is better than sacrifice. I have always wondered, why do human beings prefer sacrifices to obedience? There's that song, trust and obey, for there is no other way, happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Thank God that modern preachers cannot change the Bible. And thank God also for the old hymns that were composed by godly saints of old. Modern preachers, it is too late for them to change them. Preachers now don't talk about obedience. A preacher would rather tell you, if I lay hands on you, all your problem will be solved. Even when you are a thief, even when you are a liar, even when you are a fornicator, you can be sure that such preachers are only targeting your pocket. They are not speaking for God. Number 7, be devoted to unceasing prayers. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus Christ said there, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thessalonians 1, chapter 5 verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. Not just that you are in need. No. Pray. Pray for leaders. Pray for the government. Pray for the sick. Pray for the prisoner. Pray for the farmers. Pray for everybody. Intercede. But today we have reduced prayer to a selfish agenda. I, me, and myself. And you think that is all about prayer. No, that's not prayer. Pray all manner of prayers. Intercede for people. Prayer is beyond you. Pray for everything around you. That is what makes you godly. That is what brings you into favor. Read the story of Job. The Bible says God returned all the things that Job lost when Job prayed for his friends. But selfishness is robbing a lot of us of the favor of God. Selfishness. The only prayer point you have is all about you and your family. God has a lot of things he wants us to pray about. Let's discover them and begin to pray about those things. Number 8. Give God pleasure by maintaining an active lifestyle of worship. Worship. John chapter 4 verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's worship God, brethren. Life is more than us. Forget about all this bread and butter song. Let us learn how to minister to God.
It is only in worship that we minister to God. Revelation chapter 4 verses 10 and 11 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him, that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, these 24 elders in heaven, when they pray, what are they asking God for? Is it money? Is it job? Is it husband? Is it wife? Is it children? Is it promotion? Is it house? Is it healing? Definitely none of them. We have allowed all these things to take our attention so much that the church is no longer ministering to God. These people were ever worshiping God, ministering to God, and saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Your pleasure they are, and they were created. And the Bible says they were ever worshiping God, casting down their golden crowns. Golden crowns to worship God. Today, it is now a problem. One of the battles the church is fighting now is for women to cover their heads in worship and in prayer. We no longer respect God. Men want to cover their heads forcefully. Men want to weave their hair. And women want to say, no, we will not cover. Why are we living in rebellion like this? But look at the 24 elders. God gave them crowns. But they counted themselves unworthy to wear those crowns. They were ever casting it down before God to worship. What were they looking for? Is it money? Is it healing? Is it house or job? This generation is too materialistic. But please, let us retrace our steps back to God. Let us even make Him happy that He created us at all. Let us begin to give Him some pleasure. You remember how it was said at the time of Noah that God regretted that He created man. He looked at human beings. Human beings have become sold to evil and wickedness that God regretted and lamented that He created man. Worship is to delight the heart of God. Worship is to give God pleasure. And that is why the Bible says, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Is your life grieving the Spirit of God? Or is your life giving God pleasure? Number 9, be steadfast, consistent, and dependable. Let me read Psalm 12 and verse 1. Psalm 12, verse 1. And listen to this. The psalmist said here, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Where are godly men again? Godly men are lacking. You remember the time of Lot, how God sent angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to look for 10 godly people, and God couldn't find. If all of us are chasing after money and mundane things of life, then who remains in the church that is truly seeking for God? The psalmist cried to God, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail among the children of men. In Matthew chapter 13, from verse 18 to verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the parable of the sower. Says some seeds fell by the wayside. Those ones can never be consistent. Those ones can never be steadfast. Those ones can never be reliable or dependable, because the birds of the air will pick them up, and that's the end. Some seeds fell among the thorns. The cares of this life. What am I going to eat? What clothes am I going to wear? Every party has its own color code. Today it is green. Tomorrow it is yellow. Another time it is blue. If we continue to fill our lives with all these type of ungodly cares, we will choke out God out of our hearts. The cares of this life choke the world. Such can never be steadfast. Such can never be consistent. Such can never be dependable. Again, some seeds fell upon the rocky ground. Persecutions and trials and troubles. The person that is successful and comfortable, the cares of this life is not allowing him to be steadfast. The person that is facing hardship, the hardship again makes him to harden up his heart against God and say, God, you see, while you are blessing other people, see my own lot. And then he refuses to serve God.
But Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For you to enjoy divine favor, you must be consistent. If you have been serving the Lord, you must continue to serve the Lord. If you have started well, you must continue well, and you must finish well. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, consistently, Jesus Christ said, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, not to him that started well. Let's quickly go through some of them. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, he said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11, he said, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, he said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. From verse 26 to verse 29 of that same Revelation chapter 2, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation chapter 22 verses 11 and 12, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know one good thing about God? He has not told us when Jesus Christ is going to come. If he has told us when he will come, some of us will be smart enough. We'll go and live our lives the way we want. The eve of his coming, we'll rush into church. We'll start biribiri fast and be praying. We'll make sure we don't go home. Even if the pastor says, let's close this, pastor, no, we are not going. Jesus will meet us here. Human beings can be smart, but God, he knows us more than we know ourselves. So he has told us the day and the time nobody knows. And not just the second coming of Christ, the same thing with death. When you are going to die, you don't know. How you are going to die, you don't know. Where you are going to die, you don't know. So, if you have not learned how to be faithful, how to be steadfast, have to be consistent daily, then you stand a great risk of missing out at the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Finally, point number 10, be humble and contrite in heart. Psalm 34 verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2, for all those things as my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. A good example is the case of the prodigal son. However wayward you might have been, however far you might have wandered from home, if only you can humble yourself, if only you can be broken, if only you can tremble at the word of God, if only you can fear, if only you will return back to God. But a lot of us want to serve God at our own terms. we continue to give to God our terms and conditions. Be careful. Because if death meets you in that condition, you will blame yourself. Or if Jesus Christ returns and meets you in that state, you will be the one to regret. That is why Jesus Christ will always say there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. The prodigal son, he did not remain in his sin, in arrogance and stubbornness. He humbled himself. He developed a contrite heart. He allowed his spirit to be broken. He said to himself, I will arise and I will return and go back to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I am no longer worthy to be called any of your own. But please make me one of your hired servants. And at the end of the day, when that young man did what he did, please take note that his father never went searching for him. The best he could do was to sit back at home and be praying for him. That someday, this young man will come to his senses. That someday, this young man will humble himself. That someday, this young man will be broken and he will develop godly sorrow that will bring him to the point of repentance. But today you see so much of arrogance. Today you see so much of stubbornness. We continue to insist on our ways as if you have a heaven you are going to take yourself to after you are dead. But please, if you know that Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, and no man can come to God the Father but by him, then please, I beseech you today, humble yourself. Allow the Spirit of God to deal with you, to correct you, to put your life right, to prune you before it will be too late. Please bow down your head and let us pray. I will live for Jesus day after day. I will live for Jesus. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I will live for Jesus day after day, day after day. I will live for Jesus day after day. Today, I will live for Jesus. Let's come what may, let's come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I will live for Jesus. Day after day.